Welcome back to the Lead Up Podcast, where we connect with dope and diverse leaders to learn more about their leadership journey and so you can level up in your leadership. Before I get to my incredible guest for today, I'm very excited. I just want to give another special shout out to Darling New Media that's making this happen. Check them out, Midtown Sacramento, Darling New Media. Check out their website, darlingnewmedia.com, for all your podcast services. And as always, can't forget about the listeners. Just want to give a special shout out. I reached an amazing milestone recently, over 2,000 plays, over 40 episodes. So very, very excited. Getting close to the 50 episode mark. I know this is episode 41. So very, very excited for what's to come in the near future with amazing guests. And speaking of guests, I have the pleasure of introducing not only a friend, but somebody that I've had the privilege over the last few years to lead with, build with, connect with, and just a very, very, man, I don't know. I mean, no other words to say than just godly timing, right? People, God puts people in your lives at just at the right time and seasons. And, you know, I've just got to build a really strong friendship and relationship with this gentleman. So without further ado, I want to introduce my good friend, Joel Ramos. What's up, man? Welcome to the podcast.
What's happening, y'all? What's up, Nato? Yo, I call him Nato, y'all. Y'all know Nato, I call him Nato. That's my brother. Just, man, appreciate this opportunity, man.
Of course, man. Definitely had to get you on here. And one thing I always like to start with my guests is just giving a little backstory, you know, of, you know, where you guys are coming from. So give us the little breakdown, you know, who is Joel Ramos, a little bit about your story and who you are, man.
Man, so me, I'm 38 years old right now. I am a father. I am a husband. I get the privilege of being a husband and a father. I have a son and a daughter, Yosef. He's 2.5, and my daughter, Zara, she's 1.5. I got a lovely, beautiful wife, Yadish Ramos. Man, we are both entrepreneurs. I myself am a barber. I cut out of old Sacramento, and my wife, she's a photographer. She works everywhere, up and down California, doing everything. I myself, man, I'm a product of my parents' sin, man. My mother was a pastor's daughter, a worship singer, kind of held every title in church. And my father, man, he was a pimp and a hustler in prison gangs. And yo, I'm the product of that hot, heavy night, they say, in Bakersfield. Man, yeah, for me, it growing up, I kind of had both sides, yo. Church, being brought up in church, learning the morals, ethics when it comes to the Bible, but at the same time, learning the rawness of street life and prison life, man. And for me, it was a lot of hard knocks, a lot of hard knocks to get to where I'm at today, never thinking that I'd ever see my 25th birthday. Or to be here 38 years old, to just even be talking about leadership, I'm like, man, I must have learned something. So, yeah, that's pretty much me right there.
Yeah.
So go ahead.
I'm sure that there's probably a lot more you can unpack, because I know you shared through the last couple of years that we got to know each other, many stories and incidents. Even when I sit down in your chair, right, you know, I'm always learning something, you know, stuff from your past, or even things about, you know, recently, right, and kind of the journey that you're on as a husband, as a father, even as a entrepreneur. Before we really connected, I'm curious to learn more about, like, what was your view or how you approached leadership? I know we kind of saw each other in different spaces, different circles, but it wasn't until about 2-3 years ago where we really got to build. So before that time, what was kind of your approach and view in leadership at that time for you?
So again, man, growing up in the church and at the same time in street gangs, man, leadership, I knew two different types of leadership. One that would kind of give grace in the church because that's what the Bible preaches. And others, leadership, yo, it was raw. For every mistake, there was a raw consequence that never made you want to do it again. So leadership to me, it at a young age, it was I feared leadership. You know what I'm saying? Because I was always getting disciplined, man. I was always getting chastised, corrected in a hard way, being a knucklehead. And going to church, I seen the flaws of leadership, to be honest with you. I seen people of leadership go ahead and talk and preach and teach one thing, do as I say, not as I do. But as soon as they would leave that platform, they were just complete families that I was associated with. It was, if you were not who you were at all times, there was a consequence. There was a consequence that you never wanted to make that mistake. And so in learning that and stepping into my own roles of being a leader, I knew what I didn't want. I wanted to be that man in the spotlight and behind closed doors the same. Right. You know what I'm saying? There's a dope movie that I don't know, some of y'all probably seen by Russell Crowe. It's called The Gladiator. Well, in one scene, it has this guy, this old man, bro. And he says, man, I don't pretend to be a man of the people. I'd rather be a man for the people. And that always kind of, at a young age, man, that always stuck with me. Like, yo, I'm not trying to be like anybody else, but I'd rather be somebody that everybody wants to. Who is you? How'd you get there? I want them to know me as a man, as a leader, as a father, as a husband, whatever role they know me as. I want them to know, yo, I'm here to execute that to the fullness. You know what I'm saying? In all integrity.
Yeah, no, that's fire. I love that you mentioned that, because that's something that I've learned and grown to appreciate about you. I mentioned to you pretty often about that, you know, someone that is not married, doesn't have kids, and is always looking towards people that are not only talking the talk, but walking the walk, right? And kind of fast forward, when we started kind of connecting more, what were some of the changes? Because at the time, there was a transition point for you. And I think transition is very important for every leader in their journey, because transition can lead to growth, right? Or it can lead to other opportunities. And, you know, when we had really got to connect, you were at a transition point in your life. So what were some of the changes that you experienced in that transition? And what would you say is kind of like the biggest change in how you lead now?
Man, I think for every season that a leader may find him or herself in, it takes you to a place of focusing and seeing your insecurities. You know what I'm saying? I think to be a great leader, you got to see what you're afraid of, and you got to see what your insecurities are. You got to come to the acknowledgement of that and not be afraid, but embrace those moments, embrace those things. When you and I met, I was in the middle of a transition of coming from one church to another, serving as the young adult leader, and some would call me pastor and stuff like that. And for me, it was like, yo, I'm Joel. Yes, I got the Bible college degree and all that stuff, but it's at the end of the day, I'm Joel. These are just hats that I wear, titles that I get to accomplish, and just continue on being Joel. I am Joel. But in that time that you and I met, I remember, man, it was a scary season of my life. I had a Yosef, my son at the time was barely 8-9 months old. My wife was probably 7-8 months pregnant, with my daughter, about 13 months apart, y'all. That's God. And yes, I did work in that. But it was scary, man, because now I'm finding myself uprooting myself and my wife, and now going to be two babies, into a new community. Not knowing what that was going to hold, but at the same time, I am a firm believer in Christ, y'all. I'm letting y'all know that from the gate. I do not move until I number one, seek God, man. And that's in praying and fasting and really reading his word, man. And this was something that I do believe in that season. I was doing a lot of that because the uncertainty of, okay, man, I'm leading these people, these young adults that I got a huge heart for young men and women, man, in their teens, in their early 20s, mid 20s, just not wanting to make the same mistakes that I made because of bad leadership, being led astray, being led wrong, having leaders that weren't transparent at all, man. So in moving from that church to now this church, that's amazing church that I go to, y'all need to check us out, Real Life Church off Arena Boulevard. Shout out that plug. I surrounded myself with pastors, with elders, with men that I was inspired with, and I just started asking questions, man. Asking questions. Definitely had a lot of life experiences, but in this season of my life, I knew nothing about. I was a husband that was about to be a father of two. That, yo, I'm still now transitioning from one barber shop to another one.
That's right.
In Elk Grove. Shout out to Steve Jordan, the barber, man. Love you guys. Barber Dream off of Elk Grove Boulevard by Highway 5. I love y'all. They're on Laguna now. My bad. No, Elk Grove still. My bad. Elk Grove Boulevard. I love that team. But then transitioning to Sacramento Barbering Company, Joe, man, love you guys. That's the barbershop I work out of in old Sacramento. This whole time of leading, now I'm transitioning. You know what I'm saying? Just in ministry, but it also in family and also in career. Man, right. I mean, barber, man, it's tough. You're only as good as the next client in your chair. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Some days you're going to have full days, and other days you're going to be slow. And I remember I came with six people that followed me from Elk Grove to Sacramento, our old Sacramento, excuse me. And that was scary, man. So I was definitely in a place in my life. I was terrified, waking up every day, anxiety through the roof, but at the same time knowing, man, God said, yo, it's time to move. It's time to train my family, train my kids, train my wife. And I'm a huge believer that, man, if you're going to train, you train with the best. Go for something that's easy, man. You go for somebody and go after a trainer that is going to challenge you, yell at you, scream at you, push at you, not be afraid to even spar with you at times if they need to, because they want the best from you. They want the best for you. And in that season, man, that's where you found me. And, man, I was like, okay.
No, man, this is so good because I love that you talked about young adults, because a lot of the people that tune in are young adult, young professionals, right? They're, you know, maybe entry level, or they're trying to move up into some other leadership positions, or even start their own kind of business stuff. You know, a lot of entrepreneurial people out here trying to make things happen, but maybe they're scared to make that jump. And I know for you, in terms of the grind that you do, in terms of not only barbershop, but other ideas that we'll get to in a little bit, like kind of dive into that a little bit more, tackling that fear of coming head on. Because I know for me, and I mentioned this a couple times before even doing this podcast, right, it was like a year in my head of like, should I do it, should I not? I have all the energy one day, and then the other, some other days or weeks, I'm just like, nah, it's not worth it. But once I started, now 40 episodes later, here I am, right? So but I had to start somewhere, right? And I guess so, bringing it back to you, like, what are some ways that for people that are tuning in or listening, if they have something in front of them, or they need that jolt to kind of get started, what are you saying to them?
Man, I tell all my men that sit in my chair, even some of my sisters that sit in my chair, because I'm a barber, but I care every type of hair. I tell them all, man, you got a fear, kill it. That was one thing that my dad always raised me as. He always told me, you scared of something, go kill it. Because you put it down. You put it down. Any idea that you have that you're just pondering, you're just sitting, you're letting it marinate, or man, you're wasting it, basically. Mm-hmm. You're just wasting it, man. Man, knock it off. Knock it off. Stop. Stop. Because at the end of the day, you're gonna have critics. Yeah. People are gonna talk about you. They're gonna say, well, you could have did this better, you could have did that better, you could have, hey, coulda, woulda, shoulda, but you're still moving, you're still learning, you're still going.
Right.
You're saying, I truly believe, yo, give me 5 years. Give me 5 years of making something and then critique me. Because in them 5 years, I'm a fail. I'm a fail forward. Sometimes I'm a fail backwards, but I'm gonna keep moving. I'm not gonna quit in the barber game. I'll never forget, man. I'll never forget this time when I was learning. So I've been cutting hair since 2001, but never in a barber shop. Number one, I was just terrified. I didn't know barbers made money. I didn't know that. But I was terrified, man. This was probably about 3 years ago, 3.5 years ago. I was terrified. I remember I'm cutting one day, and I have this guy. He tells me, I want this type of haircut, this type of hair design. He pulls up a picture of a shark on Google, and he's like, I want these sharks lines on the side of my head. And I'm like, okay. And he's like, give me a number two on the side. Or excuse me, give me a number three on the sides and a number two in the back. And any barber that understands what I'm saying, they're like, what the heck? So this is going to look funny. This is like a back mullet, long on the side, short in the back. And I'll never forget, man, I did what he said. I followed directions, so I followed in directions. Boom, bam, right, done. This man tore me up on Yelp. I mean, I'm like 35, about to be 35 years old, and new father, just quit my job that I was working at because I was jumping into the barber game, becoming a barber. And I remember getting a phone call from my mentor, my barber mentor, Steve, and just talking business. This was business. This was not the personal, it was business. Mm-hmm. He told me straight out, man, look, Joel, this is what this guy said on Yelp. And dude straight said the Yelper was, hey, Joel is the worst barber, least passionate, least skillful, doesn't have what it takes to be a barber, the worst I've ever seen. And this is Yelp, y'all. I'm like, right. Yo, this is on paper that you can't delete this, you can't get rid of this. This is dang, and I'm mind you, this is probably my second month in of being a barber. And I'm like, oh man. And Steve just told me straight out, he's like, I need you to figure out and I need you to lock in. I need you to lock in or go find another job.
Wow, like that.
Like that, bro. And I love him for that. I love him for that. And I'm like, I just honest, man. I'm crying over the phone, y'all. And I'm like, I don't know if I have what it takes.
Wow.
And he's like, you can't second guess it. You either do or you don't. You either do or you don't. And I'm like, okay. I'm like, give me a couple of days, man, and I'm going to really grind. I'm going to really grind. I'm going to learn. I'm going to soak everything up about being a barber. Come out better.
Man.
I remember I hang the phone up and my wife in our bedroom. And I'm in the front room at a different place we were living. I was crying. I'm talking crying so loud. Heard me through the walls because I was terrified.
Yeah,
I'm a father, I'm a husband, man, and now I'm in a career that I know nothing about. I thought I did. I knew nothing about it, man. I remember at that point, I grabbed a paper and pen, and I'm like, "What are the things that I could do to be better?" Now for me, it was like, "Yo, I'm not just gonna be the average barber. Just give you a super cuts, great clips." You know what I'm saying? Which those people, yo, rock on, brothers, if y'all do that. Okay, go ahead. I wanted to be more than a barber. I wanted to be more than a barber. And I'm like, okay, for me personally, what do I do for me? To maintain me, my look, my haircut, my skin, what do I do? I tapped in and all of that. And I'm like, you know what? I'm going to give them services, those type of services that I do for me, to my men. I'm going to give clients that sit in my chair, and it it then challenged me because now I'm no longer worried about what that Yelp is saying.
Right.
I'm no longer worried about what the next barber to my left or right is doing. I'm my competition, man. It's me versus me. They're the great trilogy, y'all. Rockies, all the Rocky movies. I don't care which one you look at, you watch. You're going to pick something of what he's talking about. And that's what he said, man. I remember in Creed Part 1, it's like, yo, he got young Adonis, young Creed, and he's like, man, look in that mirror. It's you versus you.
Mm-hmm.
It's you versus you. And then when it came out to that, it's like, yo, in anything you do,
mm-hmm.
you versus you. The person that you're following after, the person that you're aspiring to be like, at the end of the day, they made it. They there.
Yeah.
You ain't. So now it's you versus you.
Yeah.
And I'm not in competition with anybody but me. I want to be better. I want to be better. I want to learn more. I'm never going to stop. You know what I'm saying? Now, man, it's on an average, I've looked at my intake when it comes to cuts, and on average, man, I'm doing I got about 1,000+ clients, and I left one barbershop to this one that I'm at now with only 6 people that follow me.
Wow.
You know what I'm saying? And this is a matter of 2 years now, y'all.
Mm.
So I'm still learning. My barbers, I love my brothers, but they will always clown me. But I'm like, hey, baby, I'm getting paid. I'm making a fat dollar, and I'm pushing. Yeah. I've been able to meet and cut people's hair that I never thought in my wildest dreams I'd be able to have that platform.
Mm-hmm.
But it wasn't because, yo, I want to do what you're doing. No, I want to do what I need to do.
Right.
You got to soak it up, man. I started finding mentors. I started looking at people to, yo, challenge me, to point me out. Tell me I'm not doing something right, and let me figure it out. I have one young brother, goes by Jay Blends, and he cuts out a spotlight in Elk Grove. I remember, man, I'm doing a taper, and he's like, Joel, come here. Let me show you. Now, mind you, little brother's younger than me. He was only... The time he was only like maybe 22. But I remember he went ahead and he grabbed the clippers that I'm holding the clippers in my hand, and he grabs my hand like I would do my son. You know what I'm saying? When he's doing something wrong. This young brother grabbed my hand and he's like, I just want you to see, feel this. Feel
like
35, 36 years old at that time, being schooled by a 22-year-old. Two things could have happened. I could have been super prideful and be like, get off me, little brother. You know what I'm saying? Or I could have took that time, humbled myself, humiliated myself. Not humble, come on, man. Humiliated, because it was humiliating to be in a barbershop full of men.
Mm-hmm.
Same game that I'm in, and be like, I'm learning from this youngster.
Right.
And since then, man, I'll never forget that. I got a lot of love for the little brother, man, because him out of anybody was the only person that I allowed to grab my hand like that. You know what I'm saying? Because just being a man, he's like, no, brother.
Right.
But love my little brother Jay, man.
Yeah. Man, I appreciate you sharing those two stories or two incidents. One of the younger barber and your boss, right? Both of those were opportunities that you could have taken a completely different route, right? Your pride could have kicked in, the ego. And I'm like, you can't talk to me like that. Mm-hmm. But you would have missed out on that opportunity to grow and to learn. And really, that's the opportunity sometimes, as you just said, to humble and humiliate, put ourselves in a position to, all right, this is uncomfortable, right? This is not what I'm used to. And I know I've struggled many times early on in this position, you know, how I was being talked to, because I didn't like how they talked to me. I didn't like that way they critiqued. But at the end of the day, it made me better because I took that as a shot to my person, my character. But really, it was about the work. As you said, it's all about the business. Yeah. And once I made that switch is when I started to take it as everything that's business related is going to be taken as that. Nothing more of like, you know, anything else like my own insecurities, right? Which is something that's not really talked about often. And I just needed more of that self-awareness. But if I didn't allow myself to be talked to or treated in a certain way, of course, professionally, right? Because it's all professional. It was never to insult anything, but I took it as that. Yeah. So all that to say, as you continue on in your journey, how do you continue to grow and challenge yourself? Like, are you, I know you mentioned mentors and people you have in your circle, but what are other ways that you are challenging yourself to continue to grow?
Man, as I continue to grow just in every area, because right now I help lead the men community at Real Life Church with Renato and Brother Lou. Man, in every area that I lead, that I have a platform of leadership, man, I'm constantly just either reading or watching videos or, man, just I believe in, don't waste people's time, man. I have brothers that, man, as barbers, I'll pay for an hour of their time just to talk. Just, okay, well, what's the latest tool? As men's leaders in different churches, man, I'll pay an hour of their time. What is your hourly rate? What do you get paid? Man, I'm going to double that here, bro, because I'm going to pick your brain. I'm going to come ready with a list of questions to 21 questions to take notes. Let me know what you've helped me with, or how you could help me. You know what I'm saying? Become better.
Right.
At the end of the day, it again, looking back at my notes, what things did they say that stuck out to me? You know what I'm saying? I that old saying, man, you eat the chicken, throw the bones. You know what I'm saying? And that's what it is, man. I'm gonna eat what's gonna make me better. And throw away that's going to weigh me down. You know what I'm saying? So I'm a firm believer, man. You talk to anybody. I'll even talk to, bro, like, keeping it solid, man. There's some homeless people that I talk to that have lost everything. I'm going to pick their brain, too, because I'm going to learn from them. You know what I'm saying? Some of the best lessons is from people that have had it and lost it all. You know what I'm saying? Because I'm not going to be in your shoes, brother. I love you, but no.
Right.
But, yeah, man, for me, I'm a big advocate of people to, yo, go ahead and get educated, man. You know what I'm saying? I'll always go ahead and just speak on that, man. Learn. You gotta learn. Don't stop learning. I don't care if you think you're the best at what you do. Keep learning. Yep. You know what I'm saying?
100%. Joel, and as you kind of think about the future, and I know we've had, you know, many conversations, just talk even behind the scenes, but, you know, what is next for you? What are some of the next kind of venture endeavors that you're getting into that you are able to share, or things that, you know, as you see in the next few years for yourself?
Man, these next few years, short-term goals, you know what I'm saying? I'm real big on, yo, short-term goals are what I'm going to obtain in 3 months. Then I got my a little longer goal in a year, and then I go 5 years, man. So if I were to tackle 3 months from now, man, there's a thing that I want to kick off. It's called Watchmen 33 Watchmen, excuse me. It's based out of the book of Ezekiel in the Bible, chapter 33, mainly verse 6. With all the gang violence, with all the violence, period. It ain't just gangs. It's just violence that's taking place in our country, our city, our town, our neighborhood. I really want to kick this thing off, man. There was a time where I'm just kind of by myself. I had, during these past couple of shootings that took place in Sacramento, it was two young brothers that I knew that they died. They died. And it hit my heart, man. I was seeing that K Street mass shooting that was taking place. I remember my life was impacted years ago, about 10, 11 years ago now, on a second Saturday shooting, with a young brother that I knew, he just got killed, man, right in front of me. Took two bullets to the back of his head. And I remember it changed my life forever, man. There's a whole nother story that goes into that, but I'm gonna keep it short. Fast forwarding, waking up that morning of that second Saturday, or excuse me, that Saturday night shooting on K Street, just watching all the Twitter videos, all the Instagram videos and posts, it just really hit me. it's like, man, ain't nothing changed. It's the same movie, just different faces.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, nah, God, something needs to change. I remember going to church and like, yo, I don't even want to go to church. I want to go to K Street where these people are hurting, where they're in need of comfort. You know what I'm saying? The Bible in chapter 5 of Matthew, the book of Matthew, it says, blessed are those that mourn, for they will be comforted. You know what I'm saying? But I still went on with my regular routine because Sunday morning, this church, got to be at church. But I remember leaving heavy-hearted or driving to church heavy-hearted. And I'm like, God, there's got to be something. There's got to be something. There's where the book of Ezekiel chapter 33 came out. And it just hit me like a ton of bricks. And it said, man, if the watchmen do not go ahead and sound the alarm when the sword is coming to the city, the sword representing the enemy coming to the city, then that blood would be on the watchman's hands.
Mm.
And I'm like, okay, nah, us churchgoers, where were we that Saturday night of that mass shooting in Sacramento? That just happened, and years ago, where were we? Man, a lot of us was comfortable in our beds, you know what I'm saying, tucked in with our snuggies and just chilling. And a lot of them people, man, Sunday morning didn't come. Sunday morning didn't come. So I'm calling all the churchgoers now and every man and woman that, yo, I call Sacramento home. Yo, to just start doing a prayer walk with me Friday, Saturday nights. Not in confronting people in their lifestyle. No. I just want to walk the streets. Just walk the streets in Sacramento on JK and L Street, just up and down, and just pray. Just pray a hand of protection over gathering those people, man. When it comes to me and my personal life, I again, growing up in street gangs and my father being a hustler, I never did anything when it came to credit. So I knew nothing about credit. It was always cash. Just bam, here you go, pay it, it's yours. So I'm definitely learning in my personal life more about credit, my credit score, bettering it, humiliating myself. Because I think in church, we don't talk about sex. We don't talk about credit because those are so taboo. We don't talk about sex. We don't talk about money. Them things are so taboo. But like anybody that leads anything, they know they got a sex drive and they got finances that they go ahead and manage correctly. So I'm just trying to tap in on how to manage my finances better, how to build better for me and my family, how to build a legacy that my son and my daughter won't be spoiled in. And I mean spoiled like some rotten milk that you leave on the counter. Yo, I don't want my kids to be spoiled. I want them to know how to manage their finances and give them tools to better them in their life. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
When it comes to my marriage, man, I'm excited, man, to help my wife build her Yadish Ramos photography business, her LLC. I'm so just proud of her because as a young girl, that had been her dream. Again, when we got together, it was, yo, I know who I am. I came from the streets hustling. Now I'm going to just everything. I'm going to make it legal and I'm going to go ahead and, hey, let's go get this. Let's build this empire, baby.
Yeah. No, man. You mentioned a lot of good stuff. And before we get to the lightning round, if people want to get more information about the 33 Watchmen or, you know, connect with you for a cut or just check out the shop, where can they do that? And even for your wife's, I know she's been really killing it recently with all the photography, and she's doing more. So how can they get in touch with either of y'all?
Man, so me personally, you can go to my Instagram page. I go under Barber Gospel. That is one word, Barber Gospel. Man, I got all my contact information on my IG. I think that's the best way to go ahead and get a hold of me. Just shoot me a text. Let me know, hey, I listened to the podcast. I want to tap in a little more with you. That'd be the best way to go ahead and get a hold of me. When it comes to my wife and her photography skills and her business, again, she got a website that is dope, just amazing. And her Instagram page is Yadish Ramos Photography. man, she's gonna kill me. I do not remember her website page. what it's called, but it's.
But I'm sure they'll find it on her her IG page, though, right?
You will definitely find. Oh, it is her. Yeah, it's www.yadishramosphotography.com. Man, check her out. I promise you. You need any kind of photos, whatever, man. Yo, I know my wife. Okay. One thing we did promise each other when we got married is we gonna give each other the ugly truth in everything. So business, she's been one of my biggest critics. When it comes to my haircut, she's like, "Babe, you could have did better, babe. You did that." Now. And I'm the same way when it comes to her photography. We gonna give our best. Yep. If it ain't our best, we will not promote it. If it's not our best, we will not do it. And we won't stop. It is our best. We will not stop until it's our best.
There you go. Make sure to check them out. All right, we're going to jump into the last segment, which is the lightning round. These are random questions that I did not share with you beforehand. First answer that comes to mind. And so question, are you ready to jump into the lightning round?
Let's get it.
Okay, here we go. A couple easy ones to start off with. Favorite food spot, and this doesn't have to be just Sacramento.
Man, favorite food spot? Yo, I'm a big wings man, bro. I love Chicago Fire wings.
Mm.
Them is the ones for me. Man, because I am a man, I am a father, I'm a husband. Yo, I'm going to save my dollar. I'm going to hit that happy hour times because everything is half off, baby.
I will say something. That's what I learned from Joel. He is a happy hour king. He knows the times and places. I'm like, how do you know all these places? But anyways. Chicago. Second one, favorite movie of all time?
Man, Godfather. All three of them.
Yeah, I should have known that. Yep.
That was something. So many lessons in them movies. And entertainment as all can be.
Artist or song that is currently on repeat?
Man, artist and song that's currently... I'm gonna look at my phone right now, bro. man, it has been... So, what's it called? That song by Maverick City. It's Maverick City Gospel Choir. It's called Nothing Left to Prove.
Ooh, okay. I haven't heard that one.
That song is by that worship singer Israel something.
Okay.
But yeah, it's the words, y'all. I'm listening to the words. I'm not really a yo. That's my artist. No, yeah. I'm like, words is dope. You got me.
Got you. Next question: will the Packers make the playoffs this year?
They better make the playoffs. Yes, go. I'm a diehard. We know we gonna make the playoffs, even if we ain't got the squad. We gonna make the playoffs.
There you go. You just won the lottery. What's the first thing you're doing?
Man, I'm paying my tithe.
There you go.
My tithe, baby. Like
faithful to the tie.
Man, give God what's his because he's just letting me manage his.
I don't know if this question is going to get you in trouble. We'll see. Who's funnier, you or your wife?
Me. I'm always going to tell you.
There we go. Oh, man. All right, next one. Something that most people wouldn't know about you.
Man, something that most people wouldn't know about me? Man. Oh, okay. Dig it. I might be a Lakers fan. A Lakers fan.
Oh, okay. That's newsflash for me.
That's something new. You want something? I'm like,
he said, that's new to me.
Hold on, man.
Oh, man. Best advice someone has given you?
Man, best advice somebody has given me? Man, don't be comfortable with you.
That's a good one. Worst nickname given to you?
Man, worst nickname given to me? Man, I've been called a lot of things.
just one.
Yogi.
Yogi. Okay.
Yeah.
Biggest lesson you learned so far in 2022?
Biggest lesson I learned so far in 2022. Man, give it your all. In everything you do, give it your all, because you will never have that opportunity again.
Facts. Last but not least, to close out the show, finish the statement, every leader needs what?
Elder leaders over them. If you the smartest leader in the room, you in the dumbest room.
There you go. Every leader needs elderly people in the room. Joel Ramos, episode 41. Thank you so much again, brother. I appreciate you. Appreciate your time. And we'll catch you on the next episode of the Lead Up Podcast. Peace.